Tapun seba campus minajnejn barranin jina Colin Fitz bakom għal din is-sialimis u mija jdejmi kolli mistiden jew mistidna jew maltin li għandhom xi konnessjoni kbira ma' barra minn pajjiżna jew barranin li jgħixu hawnhekk. Illum persuna miċċina għandi pjaċir kbir għaliex l-ewwel darba li għandi xi ħadd f'din is-sensiela miċċina Xidzi Chen. Hello Xidzi Chen, welcome to the program.
Hi, Colleen. Hi, everyone. I'm very glad to be here today.
Now, Xidzi, you are an employee of the University of Malta.
I'm a student recruitment and specialist working in the student recruitment office, which is under the marketing, communications and alumni office.
And how long have you been in Malta?
So, the first time for me to come to Malta, it was 2016, mm-hmm. So back to 9 years ago. And during that time, I wasn't expecting to stay in Malta for such a long time, but I think I was very lucky. I found this place is really suitable for me, and I love the living style here. And then during early 2017, I received my job offer and also my work permit, and then I decided to move to Malta.
And you moved here from which city and region in China?
So I would explain a bit where I used to work before I come to Malta. And mm-hmm. I used to work in, I think most people may know about the place called Shanghai.
Yes.
I used to work there for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And then I worked for an investment company. And then since the company, they decided to incorporate in Malta, and they need someone to help with the local business. So they offered me a chance of working in Malta. And before working in Shanghai, I was working for a couple of years in Guilin, which is one of my favorite cities of the world. Mm-hmm. It's famous for its beautiful landscape, the rivers, the limestone hills, and also the traditional way of Chinese people. Life, like the rice paddies, and also lots of minorities, they still keep the traditional way of living. And each time when I recall my study and also living experience in Guilin, I still love it.
Guilin.
Yes.
Okay. But you were born and you lived your childhood in which city or town or where in China?
I was born in a city quite close to Wuhan, and later on I moved to Wuhan. I think most people, they got to know this city because of COVID.
Yes.
But in reality, the city has full of history and landscape, and also there were so many universities and so rich culture and lovely cuisine and nice people.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, COVID has passed.
Yes, so indeed.
There were more people, they get to know China and also its cities and people. And thanks for the most recent visa-free policy, mm-hmm. there are more and more people, they open their mind and they travel to China. And I heard from my friends who work in the, who are currently working in the tourism industry, they told me that currently there are many tourists from everywhere of the world, and
yes.
they are visiting not only Shanghai, Beijing, but also like my original hometown, Wuhan. And it's quite different from what people have thought before until they really immerse themselves in the city.
Yes. Yes, that is the reason I think I do this program. And I think it's important to experience, or at least to research a lot of different opinions and different experiences before you make up your mind
exactly.
about a place or about a person or about people, rather than just sort of follow the 8 o'clock news on the television
True.
Or the radio or internet. And sometimes it's always just bad news. And you need to have many more perspectives before you can make a decision about what a country or what a person or what a people are like.
Exactly.
You're speaking about tourism. Is it best to travel to China perhaps as part of a group, as a tour? Or can you do the research by internet and book yourself in to come on your own? I think maybe the language will still be a barrier.
Yes, I would say it's all depending on each different tourist's their preference. Mm-hmm. From what I know in the past, because I used to work in the tourism industry in China before I joined the investment industry. And I found out that many tourists, they managed to travel all across China on their own. I admire them. I wouldn't be able
without knowing Chinese.
And the most difficult part is not the language barrier, but the applications. Because when you're in Malta or in most of countries in Western, in for example, in Europe, mm-hmm. you can use Google, Facebook, and Gmail.
Yes.
And like Pinterest, Instagram. Mm-hmm. Each of these type of apps, they have a different version in China.
In China, of course.
And not every Chinese app has an English translation. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, because some of the companies, they realized the increasing need from tourists from all over the world, uh-huh. and the English version is a must. So like some of the apps, like I would say Alipay is similar like Apple Pay, so people can use. And we also have Didi, which is like Uber or Bolt. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So when they realize that they can use this type of apps, it will make their travel so much more easier.
Yes. But until then, maybe it's safer to go as a group, maybe a tour or a
yes.
cruise or...
Exactly. I would say in order to serve yourself, to travel all on your own, you need to do lots of research, even
yes.
if you understand the language. But for some of the people who they just want to relax, they don't want to think all the time,
yes.
maybe it might be a good option just to join the tour group.
Yes.
And there will be translators and tour guides who will be covering all the issues might arise or whatever questions they
yes.
may have, they will be addressed immediately.
Indeed.
Exactly.
Your English is perfect.
Thank you.
Where did you learn it?
So I learned English in China, mm-hmm. and then I worked in a Start Hotel as a tour guide, English-speaking tour guide, mm-hmm. for a couple of years. And then I moved to Shanghai. And then I got the opportunity to come to Malta, and I read my master's degree at the university.
Yes.
And then after a couple of years living and working in Malta, it really polished my language skills. So I have to say I thanks to all this experience I have had.
Indeed. But you could learn English at school in China?
Yes. Actually, most of the schools offer English language lessons from secondary school.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about 5 or 6 years ago, a lot of primary schools or even kindergartens, they start to offer English language courses for students.
Mm-hmm.
So I think nowadays, if you travel to the major big cities in China, most of the young people, they can communicate quite well in English.
Mm-hmm.
So if you pay a visit to a restaurant or if you go to a Start Hotel, I think you can communicate with most of them. But it's really depending on where you go.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Languages. Now, I've heard of Mandarin and I've heard... Could you explain a little bit about the situation of languages in China?
Yes, of course. I'm glad to share the information with you. So in China, the official language is always Chinese Mandarin.
Mm-hmm.
And however, in south of China, let's say Guangdong, Guangxi, and a few other provinces, people speak Cantonese.
Cantonese,
yes.
Yes.
And even
that's
when
something I've heard of as well.
Yes. So even if you travel to, for example, London or Toronto or California,
mm-hmm.
if you pay a visit to the Chinatown over
mm-hmm.
there,
mm-hmm.
and you will see that people are communicating in a language a little bit similar to Chinese, but you feel difficult to understand, even if you can speak Chinese Mandarin. And most probably they're speaking Cantonese.
Okay. And okay. Cantonese is very different from Mandarin?
I would say very different.
Very different.
Yes. And I used to learn Cantonese with some of my friends who are coming from the towns
mm-hmm.
where their native language is Cantonese. I spent more than a year to learn the language and to communicate with them. And I wouldn't say I'm completely fluent. I can understand, I can communicate, but still needs time and also practices.
Mm.
And apart from Cantonese, if you travel to Shanghai, and all the surrounding cities. They speak a dialect which is very sweet and soft. And if you go to different countries and you talk to local people, and if they are located in the specific area like New York or like Vancouver, mm-hmm. You will encounter some of them. They speak a typical Chinese dialect, and then most probably, if it's not Chinese Cantonese, they must be Shanghainese. There are a lot of Shanghainese that live in different countries.
Uh-huh.
I think most probably it was because the economy in Shanghai is so much more developed, advanced compared with the rest of part of China.
Yes. Let's go back to the past and your childhood. You see children being brought up here in Malta.
You
school, you work here at the university. Compared to what you see in Malta, what was your childhood like in the place where you were brought up? For example, did you live in a town with a lot of countryside and outside space, or did you live in a very congested town?
I think it's a very interesting topic because since I'm turning middle age, and when I recall my childhood, it's like a long time ago.
Is this the 90s, your childhood?
Yes.
Oh, the 1990s, okay.
Yes. And when I recall my childhood, I would say, because the place where I was born and being raised, it was between the countryside and the city. Mm-hmm. So from my parents' place to the city center to, for example, Wuhan, it's just 1 hour driving. Mm-hmm. And then to my grandparents' place, it's only 40 minutes driving. My grandparents, they have their rice field land.
Uh-huh.
And they also have their gardens full of fruits and veggies. They like farming a lot. And they also kept some ducks and chickens at home.
Oh.
So I remembered when I was a child, I always tell my mom, for this month, I want to go to my grandparents' place to spend the long weekend. Or the next month, I want to go to the museum in the city. So it's a mix of modern life and the countryside life. I really, really love it. I hope in the future, if my children, they have the chance, they can enjoy, like I had the experience, they can enjoy both the city life and also the countryside life.
Yes. And school, I mean, what age did you start school, for example?
Yes, I started a little bit earlier compared with my friends. I remember that I started to join school at my age of 5, I think, and I sat for the national university entrance exam at the age of 17. So I joined the university 1 to 2 years earlier than my friends. And I still remember during that time, my friends and my teachers, they always say, if you want to stay a bit longer at school, feel free to do so, because you're already 1 year to 2 years advanced compared with others.
Mm-hmm.
But I really, really enjoyed going to school when I was very little. Things changed a little bit since I joined the university, because it's becoming a little bit harder compared with secondary school or primary school. But in overall, I would say since I had so many friends until now, we're still in contact. And each time when I travel to China, I will visit some of them. When I recall that period of time, it's still like a golden age for myself.
Mm-hmm. And that's maybe high school. Is it the same like you see in the Western world? Like, you know, you're young, you're studying, but also you get a boyfriend or a girlfriend and fall in love. And, I mean, or is it a different tradition that you have in China, at least in your part of China? Or is it similar to what maybe I would have experienced here in Malta?
Oh, Colin, I have to say that's a really, really good question, because it's totally different compared with Malta and in China.
Mm-hmm.
I know that in Malta, many, I would say teenagers, they start to date at the age, I don't know, maybe 15, 16.
15, 16, yes.
Start, I don't know what's happening now for those Gen Z generations.
Of course.
And when I recall my age and teenagehood,
mm-hmm.
I would say that although the school days is full of fun with my friends, but there's a part I feel I would like to have it if I have the chance, if I had the chance. Because even when we record the part of our experience, it's a little bit hard. Because like myself, I attended a boarding school at high school. And most of the time, we were just studying. And then all my classmates in the whole building, and they're all girls.
Oh.
So there is a feature. it comes to all of my classmates and my friends after graduation from the high school. If someone talked to a girl who easily got shy, that means that girl must be graduated from our school, because we rarely had a chance to talk to boys or men during that time, because our parents, they hope us can focus in study and then get into a good college or university. And most of the parents will be really, really worried if their children had a relationship with someone before they enter university. Mm. So I would say that maybe till now, I guess, I'm not pretty sure, but for so many years, because I have some friends, they have their siblings who are slightly younger than them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when their parents heard that their children had a relationship with someone, they were so nervous, and both the parents and the teacher were talking to the students and try to help them, sort of like help them, is to tell them that it's more important for you to focus on your study and get into a nice university before you start to think about a relationship, because you're still very young to think it in a mature way. Yeah.
Well, there's a point there, because It sometimes people meet each other at the high school or here at university, and they remain together for the rest of their life.
True.
And it's a fairy tale, and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
But most times people meet up, they fall in love, they have a relationship, and then they break up, and then they eventually end up settling down with someone else further down the line. So it's interesting that there is this point of view in China. But forgive me for asking, and if I ask a stupid question, just tell me. But is it still a case where perhaps the parents choose or give you a direction of who to go out with and who to marry in China, like it used to be in Malta and in a few decades ago, that the parents still have a big say in who you end up marrying? Or is it totally up to the young person?
That's very interesting, because things has changed a lot in my country. I remember that when I was young, my mom used to tell me that during her age, when it's time for her to find a person to engage and to get married, it's normally the parents will help them to find a suitable person.
Yes.
And since I think it starts from 1970s, like my uncle's age. Mm-hmm. It starts to be like a freestyle.
Okay, a bit more liberal.
So,
yes.
Yeah, more liberal. And then young people, they tend to choose the person they feel like to marry or engage to.
Okay.
Rather than parents help them to find someone who they think is suitable.
Okay.
And I was very lucky that because most of my friends, they get married before turning 30, and then they had a kid or two. And then my parents, they used to be worried so much. They were like, when are you going to get married? And when am I going to have my grandchildren? And they used to worry so much. And after I turned 30, they rarely ask this question, when are you going to get married? Because they know that they can't just tell me what to do and what not to do. Mm. And I'm a mature adult.
Yeah.
And then I got my opportunity to find the perfect man. So far, I think he's a perfect man in Malta.
Oh.
I'm very satisfied with my relationship and very satisfied with my life and my work and my everything in Malta. So
that's wonderful. And I wish you the best. That's really nice to hear.
Thank you.
May I ask if you have found someone Chinese here, or is it maybe someone Maltese or maybe someone from some other country, or would you rather not speak about your private life?
It's okay. My partner, he's Maltese. And
wonderful.
I thank you. And I had that impression because both my friends and also the people I know at uni, we all have very good partners. So, and most of them are Maltese. I tend to think that most of Maltese are like that. They are very faithful and they are very reliable and they are very responsible to families and partner and children. I had this impression. But sometimes some of my friends told me that good men and good women are everywhere and bad people are everywhere.
Just
like how they it is.
Absolutely, that's the world. Mm. Do you see the Maltese families? Is there a similarity between the average Maltese family and the average Chinese family in the sense that grandparents remain quite close and remain an important part of the, you know, younger people's lives, and sometimes they even live in the same block or the same house? Is there a similar kind of thing in China?
Yes, this is the I would say that it's like a magical part and things in common between Malta and China. Because before I really understood the culture of Malta, I thought Malta might be having the similar culture, like the impression we had of European countries, that children, they would be very independent, and family, everyone has his own life. And there's a strong boundary between everyone. But since I have been living in Malta for nearly 9 years, I figured out that there's so many things in common between Malta and China. For example, in China, we have really, really tight family relations. And like each time when I travel back to China, I will visit not only my parents, my cousins, my friends, my grandparents.
Your aunts, uncles, literally
have to circle around to see almost all my family members.
Yes.
And then each time when there is a traditional festival, we celebrate together, we enjoy family, lunch or dinner, and then we buy nice presents for each other.
Yes.
And I found in Malta, there's the same tradition, like last Christmas and New Year, we celebrated together with my partner's family. And each time when there's a birthday of a family member or there's a special event for a family member, we always think about what present this time we prepare for him or her.
Uh-huh.
I feel this is really sweet.
And very similar.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It's very sentimental, and it makes me always feel the strong tie among family members.
For the benefit of our listeners, if somebody knows a Chinese person, has a Chinese friend or maybe a Chinese relative, which are the most important festivals of the year that perhaps we don't know about here in Malta that I should tell you on that day? I don't know, Happy Chinese New Year, Shitsi. Could you tell us a few of these events that maybe we are not so aware of them in Malta?
So I would say the most important festival for Chinese is always the Chinese Spring Festival, and we also call it the Chinese New Year. And that is the time for family reunion and also to celebrate the whole year together, and also to look forward of the upcoming year.
So is there a particular day when you celebrate it?
Yes.
Which is?
So each year it will be different, because we calculate by lunar calendar.
Oh, I see. So it's a bit like Easter here in Malta, where it's on different dates.
Yes.
Not like Christmas, it's always the 25th of December.
No, it's different from year by year. Like this year is going to be the 29th of January.
Okay.
And then it will be the year of snake.
Okay, yes,
also
we've heard
my
of these things.
It's also my birth year.
Okay.
Yes, yes. It's really lovely because we have 12 animals represent different years.
Okay. So what should I tell my Chinese friend or you? I'll give you a call because since we work in the same building, pretty much in the same campus, I call you up, she'd say, Happy Spring Festival. What should I say?
You can either say Happy Spring Festival or Happy Chinese New Year, or like the Cantonese, they love to say Gong Hei Fa Chai or Gong Xi Fa Cai, which means I wish you a wealthy life.
That's a lovely thing, yes.
Wealthy or fortunate life.
You can do a Google Translate nowadays.
Yes.
Okay. Do you celebrate Christmas in China as well?
I would say if you travel to big cities in China, you will see there are many people, they celebrate both Chinese and Western festivals. However, if you go to the countryside, and people living countryside, they still stick to the traditional Chinese festivals.
I think it's time to hear some music. And if we're lucky, we're going to hear some Chinese music that you've chosen for us. Perhaps we can start with one song that tells us a little bit about where you're from, your country or your region of the country you're from, which in this case is China. I'm speaking to Shitsi Chen, who is from China. She's been in Malta 9 years, and this is Malta Through International Eyes on the University of Malta's radio station, Campus 103.7. So the name of the song and the name of the artist, Shitsi.
Okay, so I would recommend the song is called Dao Xiang. It's the rice paddies, and the artist is Zhou Jielun, Jie Zhou.
Sorry, 为生命在努力勇敢地走下去。我 们是不是该自主珍惜一切，就算没有拥有。还记得你说这是唯一的城堡，随着稻香河流继续奔跑，微微笑像是够的梦，我知道不要哭，让萤火虫带着你逃跑，想见的歌谣永远的依靠，回家吧，回到最初的美好，
最初的那美好。就像我说的，追不到的梦想我个梦不就得了，为自己的人生心愿上升，先把爱涂上喜欢的颜色，下一个吧，功成名就不是目的，让自己快乐快乐，这才叫做意义，童年的纸飞机现在终于飞回我手里，送回他那快乐，成长在天里，在今天太到累了，都在睡过拍片风别听到怕了，谁在多想呢，我靠着他才能吹着风唱着歌睡着了，不过其他的聪明总更精髓，阳光散在路上却不怕心碎，珍惜一切就算没有拥有、
还记得你说这是唯一的城堡，随着稻香河流继续奔跑，微微笑像是过的梦，我知道
Chinese music there from the choice of Shitzi Chen, who is my guest on Malta Through International Eyes, Minainain Baranin, on this edition today. I'm really enjoying speaking to Shitzi because I never had anybody from China as a guest on this show before. But there is quite a large, I would say, quite a big Chinese community in Malta now, more than ever. There are a few thousand Chinese people in Malta, I would say. Do you have any idea?
I remember that during 2017.
Yes.
And I used to talk with some of the people who have been living in Malta for decades. And they told me that the population of Chinese is around 3,000. So,
quite significant.
Yes. Compared with some other communities like India, Philippines and also Nepalese. The Chinese community is not so big, but however, compared with some other groups like, I don't know, maybe Americans or you name it, Germans, I think the Chinese community is quite a big one.
Yes. You said your childhood was in the 90s, you were growing up in the 90s. Now, when I was a child, and I'm a bit older than you, and I grew up in the 80s, I remember seeing, for example, a TV program called The Love Boat. In one episode, they visited China. And it was a time when people knew very little about China. China was still quite closed to the world. And one of the things that they spoke about and they showed in this program was how most people used bicycles in China.
Yes.
And I think you experienced China changing from bicycles to suddenly all these car companies opening up. The average Chinese could afford to buy a car. And now some of the best cars in the world, including electric cars, are made in China. Did you live through that period of change and opening up?
Yes, I would say that when I was very, very little, since I have memory, maybe 3 or 4, during that time, most of my family members and my friends, we don't eat meat every day.
Oh.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And we have to decide the dates we eat meat. Okay. And also we buy some nice clothes. And there's a tradition, I think, even until I was turning 10 or 11, I will have a lot of choices of buying new clothes during Chinese New Year. I don't always have so many choices when it's not a special festival or not my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was turning, and I would say 20s, I would say the significant changes have already been taking place and influenced everyone who was living there, mm-hmm. I mean, in the country. And no matter where you go, you will see it's changing day by day. Uh-huh. For example, you go to visit a city or a site on this date, and then the next couple of days when you go there, it's already changing. For example, there are new construction sites. Sometimes when I walk around in Muta, or I just take the bus, or I go for a ride with my partner, I saw the changes in Muta. It kind of like a recall what has happened in my hometown and in my country about a couple of years, 5 to 10 years ago.
Yes.
It's like changing day by day, like mm-hmm. the flyovers, like the skyscrapers.
Yes, yes.
And like new facilities, a new road. It's like changing all the time.
Is there a feeling like there is here in Malta sometimes, maybe among some of the older people? Oh, life was simpler in the past. Perhaps we are changing too quickly. Is there a bit of resistance maybe as well to some of the westernization that is happening? It's different people's opinions.
Yes, I would say yes. Because like in the past, like my grandparents' place, it's always quiet. Mm-hmm. And no matter when you go, what you do, it's always quiet.
Yeah.
But a couple of years ago, there was a new airport built up very close to my grandparents' place, because the one international airport is not enough. Mm-hmm. So the government decided to build another international airport.
Yes.
And it changed a lot about local people's life. And some of the residents who live quite close to the airport, they have to move to somewhere else. Mm. Thankfully, the government give quite decent reimbursement and relocation options for the residents.
Mm.
Otherwise, it will be very hard.
Yes, 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 of course. But progress is important and it has to happen. But it also brings pollution. It also brings different problems. At least in China, maybe you have more land to be able to move to if you had to move. But here in Malta, if there's a construction site next door to you, you're stuck with it. But that's a different story. Maybe we'll talk a little bit now about you and Malta. As a child, were you aware Malta existed? Did you ever learn about it in school? Did you know that there was some place called Malta?
To be very honest, mm-hmm. I got to know Malta since 2016.
Oh, not even when you were older then. So it was literally around the time when you were thinking of coming here.
Exactly. And then I still remember that I used to travel to Germany and Portugal very often because of some working projects between the local companies with my previous employer's company. And I used to travel quite often in different countries in Europe. And I know Italy very well, and I know Sicilian.
Yeah.
And but that time, even though I used to travel to Sicily, yes. I was not aware that Malta is right 90 kilometers away to Sicily.
Yeah.
And then in 2016, because my previous employer, he wanted to incorporate in Malta, and he asked me, we now have this opportunity. Would you consider to relocate in Malta and explore the opportunity over there? And I was like, let me think about it. And I wasn't even there to ask my employer where Malta is. And then I asked around of my friends, have you ever been to Malta before? Have you ever heard about this country? And one of my friends, who was really, really well traveled in almost, I think she traveled most of the countries of the world. And then when she heard Malta, she told me, you must go. It's a wonderful place. You're going to love it.
Was your friend Chinese?
Yes, she came from Hong Kong.
Okay.
And she has been working in Shanghai for many years, and she travels all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she told me, you have to go, it's definitely one of the best places for you to relocate. I was like, I have to trust her since she's well-traveled and she knows what is good, what is bad. And then I gave myself an opportunity to come here to explore. And then after I came here, I think I made a good choice.
But you came here, so you accepted the job and you came. Not you came here to check it out and say, oh, okay, I think I like this place. And then you told your employer, I'll take the job. You came for the job straight away.
I came, so it was a bit, let me explain a little bit.
Okay.
So when my ex-employer asked me, would you like to take this opportunity? I was like, okay, let me go to have a look to do some of the project that we are currently doing to see if I can take it or not. Because I think when my friend told me, you have to go, I think she's right. But still, I want to see if I really can get used to the culture and everything or not.
Yes.
So I spent like 2 months in Malta. I literally explored like the scenic highlights, the leisure place, the restaurants, most importantly, and the people. I tried to hang out with different people. Most of them are Maltese. And then after my visa was due, I returned to Shanghai. I told my boss, yes, let's do it. And then after a month or so, I received my work permit and then I returned to Malta.
I see. Very good. Yeah. What were your, when you first landed with the plane and the door opened and there's the steps, you walk down, you're at the airport. What was your very first thought when you first arrived in Malta and you smelt the Maltese air?
It's actually a very interesting memory for me. I would say it's a lovely one because right after I exit from the gate, I still remember it was 21st of September 2016. And it's a public holiday in Malta, the Republic Day. And there were Independence Day.
Republic thanks, Day is in December.
Thanks
there's
for correcting me.
Some people take these things very seriously. We don't want to upset.
Thanks for correcting me.
Political reasons. But yes, they're all important, all these dates that we have. Do go on.
Okay. And then there was a group of musicians. I think they're coming from one of the nearby club bands.
Okay.
They were playing lovely music. And there was a Maltese friend who came over to pick me up from the airport.
Ah.
And we went to a local restaurant. I still remember the name of it called Mamma Mia, located in Tasbish.
Okay. Yes.
And then I told my Maltese friends, and do you perhaps know where would be a nice place to enjoy the sunset of Malta? And then he took me to Golden Bay. My God. So the first day landing experience was so impressive.
But you already had the Maltese contacts here.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
Through
a Maltese
email.
Friend. A Maltese okay. friend.
Maltese friend from some, you made a Maltese friend through your work?
Yes. Then.
Ah, see, okay. So you already had somebody to sort of smooth the way for you
exactly.
here.
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm very grateful for that.
And you saw the sunset at Golden Bay.
In Golden Bay.
Oh, yes.
It's really amazing. And I still remember that I bought an ice cream over there. I sat on the beach and then I enjoyed the sunset and forgot about time. And then all of a sudden I realized that I'm feeling very tired. I need to go and sleep.
Oh, lovely. So your first experiences of Malta were very nice.
Yes, it was really lovely.
And how did your life develop here? You decided to move from your original job and you got the job here at university. Mm. Did you ever encounter any problems because you look Asian? Did you ever encounter that sort of issue?
So during the very beginning 2 years of my life in Malta, it was so smooth.
Mm-hmm.
And I sometimes struggle a little bit about the working style because through the past years when I was working in China, we have to really follow the very strict deadlines. And there's no compromise of let's extend the deadline a bit, let's wait for this person or that project is done. We always stick on the deadlines.
Okay.
So I think most of the
very
colleagues,
disciplined.
Yes. And if we cannot finish the work on the day or by the due date, most of my colleagues and my friends, we will just extend our working hours without the superiors asking us to do so. And then during the 2 years of work in Malta, I started to realize that very often my colleagues, they were telling me, you are just too serious.
You work too hard.
You work too hard. Why not relax a little bit? You make me feel nervous. And by the very beginning, I don't understand. And then by time, I slowly understand. This is what we call Mediterranean lifestyle.
Yes.
And we need to balance both life and work.
Oh.
And then starts from the third year, I think, I start to think about why not, since there's such a nice higher institution in Malta. It has more than 400 years of history. It's highly recognized, not only in Malta, in Europe, but also worldwide. Why not pursue a degree here? And then I started to think about doing a degree, master degree in Malta. Mm-hmm. And of course, the University of Malta is my best choice. And then I applied for a course. And then I started to feel a little bit struggling of balancing both work and study. And then I decided, okay, maybe I need to make a pause of my career life and to pursue an academic improvement. And then I submitted my resignation letter to my employer. And during that time, both my employer and my colleague, they don't understand. Every one of them, they're telling me, you're doing so well, why not just continue and you're going to advance your career to another level, a totally different level. Why just give up on the halfway? You did so well. And I was like, when I recall what I have done in the past couple of years, I did my best to perform at work and to serve my clients and also to cooperate and support my colleagues. And very often I work 11 or 12 or 13 hours every day. And sometimes I even forgot to spend time with my ex-partner and my families, and sometimes I feel regretful of not enjoying time with my families and my loved ones. So I think it's time to stop. Uh-huh. And then they said, if you feel like to come back again, just let us know.
Oh.
I was like, okay, I will think about it. Thank you very much. And then I bid farewell of my previous colleagues, and I started focusing on my study. And also during that time, I was also doing some partially work, like self-employed work, and to make some income. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to rely on my savings. And then after, I think a couple of months before I finished my master's degree, I noticed that the university opened a call for administrators. I was like, I had such nice experience study here. Why don't I just apply for a job position here to experience if there's a possibility for me to pursue a career at the academia world? And then I submitted my application. After 2 months, I received a call from HR of the university. And after that, I attended the interview. I got the offer. And I still remember it was a good day in September 2020. And I enrolled in the position at the university. And after changing of the permit, everything, I joined the university as a member of staff in November 2020. It was really a lovely experience for me. Until now, I'm very satisfied with everything.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's really nice to hear.
Thank you.
And I'm very happy for you. Let's hear some more Chinese music, your second choice.
Okay.
And you can tell us the name of the song and the name of the artist. I'm speaking to Shitzi Chen, who is originally from China. She's been living in Malta for the last 9 years, and she has chosen for us a song called...
The name of the song is called Yidian, and artists are Moyoy and Petzi.
Is it a recent song? Is it music from...
Very recent.
Very recent.
Yes.
So the music that young Chinese people are listening to and dancing to.
Yes.
And maybe countries around China. I don't know, would this song, for example, be popular in Korea or other countries around China?
I would say it's the other way around. The South Korean K-pop.
The K-pop,
the
Japanese
song, they're so popular in my country.
Really?
Yes, and even a lot of... songs which have been popular for, I think, more than 10 or 20 years, and people are still playing it and dance with it.
Okay. So let's hear the song chosen by Shitzi Chen.
Yeah. 碰上，帮我把这破碎的生活给补救。不是我们输不起，而顽固不停，厄运缠身像被诅咒，日复一日的循环，感觉非比寻常，被困同一天放神经麻痹像触电，打破循环的触觉、yeah、互相搀扶的灵魂，解开悲伤的结，眼泪淋不湿我们的夜，情欲看不清，洗不清的愧疚，想不尽花无心如水流，想注定
The guest today, Shitzi Chen, has chosen for us a very modern song. The subject of that tune, do you know what it's about?
Idian.
Idian.
Yeah, which means a little bit passion over your life.
Okay. So it's all about passion, love,
yes.
Living life to the full.
Yes.
Wonderful. You said you have a Maltese partner.
Yes.
Have you had the opportunity to take him to visit your hometown?
That's our plan for this year. One of our most important plans for this year.
Is he looking forward to going?
Yes.
First time in China, I would assume.
And all my family members and my friends, they are so thrilled to meet him in the coming months.
Of course. They're looking forward to meeting him, yeah?
Yes.
And have they ever visited you here?
Not yet. My grandparents, they're quite old. One is 87, the other one is 80, nearly 85. So my mom, most of the time, she would stay near my grandparents just in case they have any need.
Of course. What do they think about you living so far away in a tiny country called Malta?
I think my family, they're quite cool about where I choose to stay. So my mom used to call me every day. She was like, is everything okay there? Have you met any friends who can help you? Mm-hmm. Or do you encounter any difficulties? She was always concerned. And then after she knew that I really enjoyed my life here, because I post lots of photos almost every day. And she saw all this news, these moments, and also reels. And she knows that I enjoy my life here, and it's a very safe country, and she feels much more relaxed. But I still remember that during the first couple of months when I was here, she was calling me every day.
Sweet. I don't know if you know this, but here in Malta, we're told that way back in 1971, our leader at the time, Domintov, decided to try and make business and start opportunities with China. And at the time, it was a bit strange. But shortly after our leader came to China, the American president, Nixon, came to China. And slowly, slowly, relations started to develop between the Western world and China until nowadays. China is completely part of the world and a very important member of the international community. There is a bit of a special relationship between Malta and China. And maybe some of the older Chinese people think of Malta in a special way. Does this make sense to you? Do you hear these things being said by maybe your grandparents? Or is it just something that we in Malta feel?
I would say that each time when we read news in China about Malta, it's always very positive.
Mm-hmm.
either Maltese people are very friendly, and or and the Chinese Culture Center or the medical center, Chinese medical center, is having some activities with the local community.
Yes,
it's always very positive.
We've had the Chinese medicine in Malta for many decades.
Yes,
that's something that I've heard about since I was a child. In fact, yes.
Yes.
So positive feelings, but not necessarily the details of what I told you. At least you never heard about that sort of thing.
Not really. I think it might be because there's so many going on from everywhere of the world. Sometimes, unless people have a relation or they have some sort of connections in Malta, otherwise it might be a little bit difficult for people to understand what's happening in Malta at the moment.
China is a huge, huge country, a very important country, a superpower as well, on every level, economically, militarily, probably on the same level as the United States of America nowadays. Is there a feeling amongst the average Chinese person? I know you're not a politician. Do the Chinese feel that maybe it's time for China to be a bit more respected in the world, a bit more dominant, maybe a bit more, that people start to learn Chinese, just like in the past, the world developed in such a way as that English became the world language. Maybe in the future, it's time for the Chinese culture to spread a bit more, or do you not think about these things?
Actually, I can only tell from my own perspective, or I can share some insights from my friends.
Yeah.
I would say that the country is developing its economy and also every aspect of its technology. We're very proud that China is getting better and better, and the products, so as the culture, is recognized by more and more people. And however, since myself and my friends, we want to make our own life better and better. We are mainly focusing on what we are doing. So I wouldn't relate it so much about how the country would influence the rest of the world. I think the major responsibility for the country is to make its own people to live a better and better life.
Okay, that makes perfect sense, yes. What about your life in Malta? Do you see yourself being here for a long time?
Yes, actually, I enjoyed my life here very much. And even say before I do my master's, I can't imagine that I just settled in a different country. And I was still thinking that I would say 2018 or 19, I was still thinking that in the future, after I finish my degree program, I will return to my hometown and I will set up my family and I will have a good life.
Yeah.
And things just happen in life, and sometimes I have to believe in destiny.
Okay. So probably, especially if you settle down for love here in Malta, you'll be in Malta for many years to come.
Yes, I think so.
Do you or have you learnt any Maltese at all?
Yes, actually, I participated in two Maltese language courses, but I feel a little bit sorry that I still cannot communicate in Maltese.
Okay.
But I can understand a little bit of Maltese words.
But you haven't really felt the need to know Maltese very well to live here and live a full life here.
Yes, because I think because my partner and his family respected a lot that Maltese for me is a foreign language, and it might be a little bit difficult for me to to be able to communicate fluently in Maltese. So they've never put pressure on me. Mm-hmm. They just told me, if you feel like to learn Maltese, we will help you. But if you're feeling more comfortable to communicate in English, we have no problem if you just speak English with us. So I feel very lucky of having such understanding and lovely family members. And then in the office, and my colleagues, they all speak perfect English, and they're also very proud of the Maltese language, which I like so much. Because I have to say, if they all speak Maltese only, I might feel a little bit difficult to understand and to immerse myself in the team and in the atmosphere. However, my team members, they always communicate in both languages. So I can learn a little bit Maltese, and then I can also communicate fluently and confidently in English, so which makes me feel good.
Absolutely. So your colleagues, your partner's family have made you feel welcome, and you get on very well with them.
Yeah.
Is there anything in Malta that you would change that perhaps could be better, in your opinion?
I think the government is doing its utmost to make everyone to be satisfied, but I think it's a little bit difficult to balance both the demand of economy development and also everyone's need. And if I would be able to change something, I would do something of the public transport, because I hear complaints from my friends or my anyone. Sometimes the heavy traffic makes everyone feel a little bit drained. So if I can do something, I would make the public transport a bit more convenient for everyone, less traffic congestions and more options for everyone. But I know that it would take many years for the government to land this project.
To conclude, I try and find the time to speak about food. Chinese food. Tell us one amazing Chinese dish that is authentic that we should try.
So number one, I would recommend an aroma duck. People also call it a Beijing duck.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good. And I often make Beijing duck from home when we have a festa.
Okay. You can find the recipe online.
Yes. Actually, you can buy ready-made aroma duck from any one of the local Asian shop.
Okay.
And then you just need to prepare some seasoning and also some veggies. And it's very easy to cook.
And what Maltese food have you embraced since you've been here? Or is there nothing that has taken your fancy?
I like one particular Maltese cuisine a lot. And sometimes my friends, they were like, how come you like it? But I really, really love it. It's babouche.
Really?
Yes,
okay.
Maltese babouche, yes.
Okay. Shitzi Chen, thank you so much for being my first Chinese guest in this series, Malta Through International Eyes. It's been a great pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure too.
I wish you the very best for your future, whether it's here in Malta or wherever it is. It's been such a great pleasure getting to know you.
Thanks a lot, Colin. It's my pleasure being here and sharing my stories and also my insights with everyone. Thanks a lot.